Precious, we're going to go through so much information today that I don't want to waste a minute of time or lose a minute of time. So I'd love to just start us out by just saying, you know, introducing yourself, say your name and where you're from and your profession. And I'll ask another question in a little bit, but let's just start with that if we could. So Tammy, would you get us launched here?
Sure. Williams, and I'm from Virginia, and I'm a fly in this room of a fly on the wall in this room of professionals. I'm not one, and I'm a former fitness instructor, and currently with my husband, nicely retired.
Thank you, Tammy. Did you say Tammy?
Tammy.
Tammy. Okay. Great. Thank you, Veronica.
Hi, I'm Veronica Elias, and I live in San Antonio, Texas. I'm from Argentina originally, but I have been in the U.S. for 18 years. I'm a university professor.
What do you teach?
Public policy.
Ah, very good. Thank you. Okay, we're going to hop down to Christina.
Hi, I'm Christina Brocato, and I'm from Los Angeles, California. And I just left 25 years in the fashion business to start my healing practice and studied with Laura. And I'm now actually an accidental caregiver for my mother-in-law.
Okay. How lucky is she? All right. Thank you, Christina. Jay.
Jay Galley, I'm in the Houston area. I'm a corporate lawyer practicing the real estate, intellectual property areas.
Great. What made you interested in this today?
Well, I've been in Dr. Rita Marie's energy recharge program for, this is my second year. I was in your presentation the other day and was interested enough to follow up on it. Yeah.
Great. Thanks, Jay. Nice to have you. Yeah. Jan.
I'm in Utah, and I'm a graduate of Dr. Rita Marie's Nutritional Endocrinology Practitioner Program, and I've also been working with Laura through that program for the past, 6 years, 7 years almost. I love it. I love everything Laura does. I use it in my work. I'm an adjunct professor teaching yoga and fitness at the college here. So life is taking me lots of different places, but always the energy component is, I find, the missing key.
Great. Thanks, Jan. Beautiful. Elizabeth.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, I'm just commuting home from doing some errands, so I just wanted to log on before I got home, but I'm newly retired, and I'm not a practitioner. I'm in Dr. Lascauza's course because I've had some GI issues, and I think they're related to emotional issues, so this interested me. The work that I did before I retired for 37 years was occupational health and safety, so it's called industrial hygiene, so it's protecting workers from chemicals, noise, radiation, things like that.
Mm. Wow. Thank you, Elizabeth. Great to have you. And I think you're going to get some dots connected about that today. So I'm glad you're here.
Thank you.
Okay. Marcia.
Yeah, I live in West Marin, California, and I play the flute.
It's nice to have you here. Do you want to say anything about why you wanted to be here today?
Yeah, because I think it's all based on, you know, the core energy piece that's missing for me, the understanding and the integration of, you know, my body, mind, spirit. And I've been working with Laura for about 18 sessions or something. I don't know how many, maybe 15, and continuing, because it's really bringing a lot to the surface for me. So.
Beautiful. Thanks, Marcia. Glad you're here. Angelica.
Angelica. Hi, I'm Angelica. I'm a student in the NEPT program, and I'm also in Laura's TEH program. And my profession, my day job is I'm in recruiting, but, you know, I'm a budding holistic health practitioner and healer. So that's why I'm here to nurture my, cultivate my passion.
Great. Thanks, Angelica. All right. Hi, Key. I'm saying it wrong again, aren't I? That was right?
There we go. You did well. I listened
to it. Okay, good. To
anything at this point. I just react preemptively.
If we're anywhere near the ballpark, you'll acknowledge.
Exactly. Okay. There's you'll eight answer. Balls in a K. I'm fine.
Okay, good.
So I live in Northern Virginia, and I'm a certified holistic health coach and practitioner. I'm a certified heart math coach, certified aromatherapist. So I have like a whole arsenal of things. Obviously, I ended up also in energy medicine because when you're a nutrition, there's no way you can avoid slipping into energy medicine.
Great.
So I'm working on my doctorate in natural medicine.
Wow.
Yeah, and I'm here basically because I have a few situations with some clients where I'm not really sure how to approach them. Mm-hmm. They are very, very challenging right now. And I have an intuition that something going on that I would love to share with them, but I'm not sure if I'm crossing the line if I do. So mm-hmm. I'm hoping that maybe I figure out how to energetically do this right.
Great. That's a beautiful question and dilemma and question. And I think there'll be some opportunities to bring that back during the course today. So if I don't address it, bring it up again in a little bit, and I'll make sure that I do touch on that, how to distinguish that. Okay, great. Thanks, Heike. Thanks. Laura, hi.
Hello. It's nice to hear your name, and I love to pronounce it my way. I mean, not Laura, but Hacker. Oh. Hacker. I like that sound. So I'm Lo. I'm in British Columbia, Canada, and I'm right now studying with Donna Eden and Laura Fine, and deepening this healing journey of mine, and be a guide healers for others.
Beautiful. Thank you, Laura. Okay, Debbie.
Hi, I'm in Santa Barbara, California, and I've just been on a healing journey for a while. I'm in Dr. Rita Marie's ERC program, and now I'm studying, taking a class, some classes with Laura and studying, working with her, starting to work with her. And I have a background in teaching and in admin office work, and going forward, I don't know. I'm really open to what the next chapter is going to be. So,
great. Great, great to have you here, Debbie. Thank you. Jenny.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Okay, so I actually am from Eugene, Oregon. I've been in NEPT program for over 2 years, so I'm actually coming towards the end. And I have my nutritional therapy practice for the past 3.5 years. Oh my, what an experience. So I think just like some of the folks here said earlier, I've had some client challenges with some clients. And after 3 years of practice, I feel my own energy has been kind of drained in a lot of ways. Wow. So I'm actually at the point where I'm trying to figure out whether I should continue on this path or I should figure out a different platform to practice nutrition, because this whole one-on-one counseling setting, I would have to either figure out a way to do it more effectively and to create better results with some of the challenging clients, or I have to kind of shift the platform. So I think what you do can be greatly helpful for me.
It yeah. will be so helpful for you. You will not have to switch venues. You will not have to. You've invested so much. You just have some missing pieces, and I'm going to help you fill in those blanks, and then you're going to soar with those clients that are challenging. I mean, I love challenging clients because they teach me, you know, and they teach me what I'm missing. And that's all you have to do is find out what those missing pieces are. And I'm just so delighted to actually hear you bring that to the table, because there's definitely the things that you're going to get today even will help you a lot. Mm-hmm. So, and then at the Awakening Retreat, we're going to take that a quantum level deeper. So I'm glad you're here. This is great. And I want you to tell me how it goes. You and Heike, you know, tell me later how it goes after you apply some of the things you're going to get today.
Awesome. Right. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Karen. You're still on mute.
Sorry. Okay, now I've been unmuted by you. I'm here in Amsterdam, the Netherlands.
Oh.
And I am not a practitioner. I'm calling in for my own use. I have done a lot of different physical healing modalities since a bad traffic accident about 5.5 years ago. And I realized recently that the thing that's quite missing is the rest of the story in terms of healing. And the only thing that I've had that sort of bridges from the physical to maybe the like emotional, spiritual energy field are a series of bioelectrical treatments that I had in Sydney that definitely crossed over those areas, but they were primarily targeted on physical. But it's not that I'm done healing physically, but I'm really in need of the next steps. So like holistic healing, and that's why I was curious enough to call in.
Beautiful. I'm glad to have you here. And I think some dots might connect for you today with that. So great.
Good.
And great for you for continuing to persevere, because you will heal those gaps. It is possible to do that, and you'll get resources. So good.
Very good.
Okay. Thank Yvonne. You.
All right. I am a life and health coach, and I work for a hospital system, and I also have private clients. And I've not so recently, but for quite some time, I've been connected with Dr. Rita Marie. I'm in like the insulin resistance programs and some of the others, and I'm fascinated. And I was recently introduced to your work on the most recent call, and I was fascinated. So I said, I'm going to sign up and come here.
Great.
So learn more about this. I am also very much a lifelong learner, and I know that, you know, I'll just keep adding to my repertoire. So that's what I'm doing here.
Great. Thanks, Yvonne. I'm glad you jumped on board. Wonderful. Okay, Heidi.
Hi. Good morning.
Hi.
So I consider myself to be a transformational health coach, and I actually certified in clear beliefs coaching method by Lyon Goodman, and I'm a story coach, a money coach, and a certified bookkeeper and tax advisor. And right now I'm niching in helping people who are invested in holistic health to create a nourishing relationship with their money. So that's what I do professionally. And in terms of creating a connection, energy connection with people, I think that I just want to learn more about how to do that when you have a client as they go through their ups and downs during the session, you know, how to respond better to that, because when you're coaching them deeply, sometimes they can really brings up stuff and gets right there, and they can shift rapidly from here to there. And keeping that connection is really important, especially if every now and then something can feel a little triggering inside me. And then I need to know, you know, I already know the stuff about, okay, wrap it up, put in a package, put it on the back shelf, and just tell yourself you can deal with it later. But it would be nice to have more, it's always nice to have more information about how to maintain your connection when you're suddenly feeling a trigger pull yourself.
Yeah.
And then also, I've also been personally in the holistic health field for like 20 years healing myself. So I get sometimes people who have a lot of health problems are really shut down, and they come in and they just, I just feel that they're blocked. I mean, there's just so much resistance there. And how do you create a connection with somebody who's just really shut down and resistance? Is there better ways to create that connection and keep that connection? So,
Boy, I just love everything you're saying and all the challenges that you're naming so articulately. And one thing I will say is this moment-to-moment tracking that you're talking about, one of the things that you talked about just now, this moment-to-moment, like how do you respond moment-to-moment to people, especially when they're in defense, it's one of the gems that I love teaching. It won't be taught in this section because there's no time, but it will be taught at one of the in-person. We do 2 in-person retreats a year, and it's invaluable, this moment-to-moment tracking stuff, that it will change the way you work dramatically, or at least give you that missing tool. So thank you for naming it, because and it sounds like you're doing remarkable work already. So this is going to just help you kind of solidify, you know, that missing piece for yourself. So we'll hopefully there'll be some tools today that will get you started in that direction, but that the real gem happens in the 5-day retreat that will be in the fall. So that's great.
Great. Well, okay. I'm hoping maybe I can attend that next year.
Whenever it works for you. We offer it every year, once a year. So that's great.
Beautiful. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I know you're not Barb, Jill, so I'm going to call on you, Jill, next.
Hi. I'm from the Minneapolis area, and I'm in Rita Marie's program and Laura's program. And I'm also a health coach, life coach, energy worker. been doing this for quite a while, and I'm all just love to continue learning and excited for today and to see what you have to share with us, Laura. Thanks
so much, Jill. It's always great to have you with us. Okay, Janine.
Okay, good morning. I've been with Dr. Rita Marie for a couple of years. I'm in NEPT. I'm also a mentor at a mental health facility that I graduated from. So the training I've had there for a couple of years deals a lot with this. And so I want to be able to help the mentees that I get, but also to help me on my healing journey, because I've been a caregiver for my mom for 5 years, and there's a lot of energy there.
Mm-hmm.
Through my body. I have a lot of trauma since birth. Mm-hmm. So it's like one, I think the missing key to finish healing, because my body feels it.
And yeah.
My chiropractor, you know, I see colors, I'm very in tune with things. And so that's that other mystery part of healing, you know, that we need, I think, as a health coach, to further help people, and my communication with other people, because you can just sense it, but I sense the triggers within me.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Wonderful. You know, you're going to get to make use, practical use of those abilities that you're talking about, the seeing colors and stuff. So, you know, that your sensitivities, that's the gift that lives in the wounding of trauma, right? There's a gift there that we'll figure out how to utilize that more. So thanks for sharing that, Janine. Mm-hmm. Great. Okay. Hannah Ora, can we get you on camera? And the rest of you, if I know one person texted that you're having camera problems, but would love to get all of you on camera as much as possible to be with us. Maybe she stepped away for a minute. Hannah Ora, we'll come. Oh, there you are.
I am.
I'm impressed. You're up. Yay. Yeah,
barely.
All right.
Sorry, I'm late. I'm sorry that I met. Are we talking about those 2 questions?
I'm going to bring that back in later. I just wanted to ask where you're from and what you do.
I'm from Carmel, California, which is a couple of hours south of San Francisco on the coast. And I was a therapist for over 30 years. And currently I'm not seeing anybody because I felt empty, you know, like my breasts were dry. There was no more milk to give and I needed to do something else. And, but I'm thinking about going back to it in some kind of way. I was working mostly from a Jungian point of view and also including body work because Jungians aren't known particularly for being in touch with the body. And I knew that I had a lot in my body that I needed to explore. So I'm always learning and curious and want to learn what you have to share with us today.
Great. Thanks, Hannah Orr. I'm glad you're here.
Thanks.
Good. Okay. Karen. Did we get to you? I don't think we did. Can we get you on camera?
There I am.
I thought we did, Karen.
Oh, okay.
Karen,
who did I miss? Martha, where did you go, Martha? There you are. Okay, Martha.
Okay. Hello, I'm Martha. I'm from Atlantic Beach, North Carolina. I've been in Dr. Rita Marie's program, NEPT and INE, for several years. I'm an entrepreneur. I've been in television, a financial professional, and a restaurant owner, if I didn't say that. That was a healthy restaurant. And so as an entrepreneur, I mean, my hobby has been health and wellness since I was a very young person. It's always intrigued me. And so trying to figure out how to make this a business for me, because in dealing with people, you know, you find out a lot about them, especially in estate planning. You find out their emotions and their finances and their relationships, which also affects their health. So I'm really interested in this because everybody's messed up. We're all like life in a soap opera, maybe not to the extreme that you see in sitcoms, but I feel like that's part of my life. And I'm really very aware of energy because I've lost a son, and you know, that energy no longer exists. So I'm very aware of how much energy does exist in the people around me. And I do Taekwondo, which is a physical energy, which also makes me very aware of room and the energy and the people around me. So I'm hoping to learn a lot that I can turn this into something to help people. Because I already do a lot of that, and I, you know, advise people and guide people and direct them, but it'd be nice to change that angle on it and do it from a different perspective where they could come out and grow and find out what's really bothering them.
Beautiful. Thank you, Martha. Thank you. Okay, let's see.
Did you do Diana?
Diana, okay.
I'm mute. Okay, there I am. My name is Diana Palmer. I'm from Challis, Idaho, up in the Central Mountains, a million miles from anywhere. And absolutely retired. I am part of Dr. Rita Marie's ERC program. I am not a practitioner, nor do I intend to be. However, I am a gardener. We're involved in the farmer's market locally here. I do make a lot of herbal things that I try to sell at the farmer's market. But I've been challenged with chronic fatigue syndrome for 30 years. My health declined dramatically for a long, long time. I had to claw my way back out, reading everything I could get my hands on. I got a lot of my health back, and then 7 years ago, my firstborn child, 36 years old, died, I thought I'd had everything pretty well healed up from the trauma until this latest healing crisis, which, of course, came from the death and all of the things that surrounded it, three grandchildren, two of which I'm completely separated from now due to their father's there's a lot of trauma there. I thought I had handled it, but well, but actually one episode or one call with Dr. Laura Fine and one with Kimberly Ward this last several months in this ERC program kind of brought to the surface that I've been stuffing. And it's not doing me any good on my healing journey, and that's where it seems to be where I'm blocked and I need my energy back. I just have zero energy at all. Mm. I have a lot of healing things to do, so I'm here to find out how to restore more of that.
Mm. Wow, thank you, Diana, for sharing all of that. And I'm really touched by what you've been experiencing and going through, and also your willingness and your desire to reclaim your energy in your life and in the face of all of that trauma. So thank you for being here and for sharing that with us.
I also realize there's a lot of trauma even from my early childhood, infancy even, that I have not healed from. Yeah. So literally, you all have triggered something in me that's probably my biggest block to finishing up what I need to do in the in the body work. So I need that healing energy, and I'm hoping to learn a lot today. Hopefully you guys will trigger the key, whatever it is.
Good. Well, thank you. We'll do our best. Okay, who else did I miss? Is there anybody I missed?
Hello, Laura. This is Gloria.
Hi, Gloria.
Sorry, I can't get my video to work.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, we'll hear you. So go ahead.
Yeah, I'm from Brecksville, Ohio, which is just a suburb south of Cleveland, Ohio.
Uh-huh.
And I'm a health and lifestyle coach. I've been in Dr. Rita Marie's NEPT program for several years now, or a couple years, maybe it is. And I do have difficulty speaking with my clients. Getting, you know, to the root cause, and I'd like to learn how to communicate better with them.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I know my son is having difficulty with relationships, communicating with people, and mm-hmm. I know it does stem from trauma in childhood. He had a difficulty in high school with some of the fellow students.
Mm-hmm.
Was never quite able, you know, to work with him on that. And I'd like to learn how to help him get mm-hmm. through that.
You know, Jan, do you want to just say quickly what's been happening for you with your children?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I have been using this work with my adult children. And I have my second daughter has autism. And so energy is really important for her, because a lot of times that's really the only way she really knows how to communicate. And the things that you'll be learning today and throughout this TEH course, like I said, it will be invaluable. And I think that you'll find not only as a mother, but also as a friend, you are going to have tools that will empower your children and yourself as well. So it's been amazing. It has really strengthened our connections. And I've learned more about myself too, as I work with her. Just like Laura said, some of her favorite clients are the ones that are the most difficult to work with, because therein lies the.
Thank you, Jan, for sharing. Yeah.
Great. Thanks, Jan. And thanks, Gloria. Okay. Have we got everybody? Everybody got to check in? Did I leave anyone out? Okay. So let's take a deep breath, everybody. Just take a deep breath and exhale. And let's land. And I'd love you to just take a moment to look at every face, every little thumbprint that you're in class with here, and feel this is a real person. It's not just a picture, right? This is a real human being that's sitting behind those eyes, that's sitting here with us. There's a beautiful feeling in our group already. And if you can get yourself in the light, that will help. We're going on a journey together, all of us today. And you're going to feel like you know each other, you know, before the end of the day. And I love that, because this is part of what heals is the feeling of community that occurs. I want to ask a couple things of you. I want to ask for 100% undivided attention as much as possible. Please don't multitask. Don't text. Don't use your phone. Turn it off or turn it over or put it in the other room. You know, put it away from you. You know, we were in an energy bubble of consciousness. We're all here together in the same room. I want you to imagine that we're actually sitting in the same physical space together because we are actually in the same energy bubble of consciousness together right now. So I'd like you just to kind of feel that take another breath and just feel, okay, we are here. We're in the same consciousness, space of consciousness together today. So I'm going to ask these questions, even though probably you all qualify anyway, but raise your hand if you feel like you're a highly sensitive person that has a healing presence that other people are drawn to. So just put your hand up if you can relate to that, that you have a healing presence that other people are drawn to, that you're highly sensitive yourself. Okay, thank you. And I want you to see all the hands that went up as well. And now raise your hand if you struggle with those sensitivities and if you doubt whether what you're picking up is real or helpful. So who has that struggle? Who has that dilemma? Okay, very good. You're not alone. And who would like to realize the gifts of your sensitivities and to create clear healing connections so you can help more people? Who's interested in that? Okay. So even if you're here, thank you. Even if you're here for your own healing happens through the clarification of the sensitivities that you have that show up in response to other people. So my mission is to help people teach the transpersonal energy healing principles that that transform personal and professional lives so you can heal yourself and facilitate healing for others and profoundly touch their lives. So we offer a professional certification training program to do that, which many of you are already involved in. And or you can take these modules for your own personal continuing education. So if you're not interested in using this professionally and you want to just use it for your own healing journey, that is absolutely fine and what it's all about. Like we work on our own healing first before we can take somebody else down the road that they need to go in. Okay, so I am going to now, so let me just tell you a little bit of what's going to happen today. I'm going to go through a PowerPoint presentation. And as I do, we're going to stop from time to time and we're going to do what I call experiential learning exercises. So you're going to actually have some experiences of some of the concepts and things that we're talking about. So the main thing, and so many of you, I love how many of you are already like, you know, totally tuned into energy and interested in energy and working with energy. So many of you already, and even if you haven't had that experience, you actually are doing it anyway, even if you have different language for it. And that will come more clear too as we go through the day. So as we work with the energy experiences that are going to happen for you today, then we're going to stop in the PowerPoint and have some of those practical experiential learning, what I call experiential learning, because those experiences give clarity to the mind. So we work not just from here down, but from the energy experiences that bring the ahas of awareness into the mind. So that's a little bit different from the way most of us are used to working. Most of us are used to getting lectured at and talked to, but we're going to have energy experiences and energy learning here today too. So that's a little heads up about that. So I'm going to go into a screen share now. And we're going to start with our slideshow. Okay, create an energy connection. This course today, this four-hour course today, is, if you stick it all the way through and persevere, this will count towards your certification. So those of you who are interested in certification, this is a required course for your certification. So you can just know that going in. Okay. So healthy or unhealthy, we all make energy connections with everybody we interact with all the time. And we make energy cords of connection, what are called energy cords of connection with different people. And these energy cords can be healthy or unhealthy, and we can feel them. We can feel, oh, that person's, we have sayings that reflect that, right? Like sayings like, oh, that person's just yanking my chain, right? Well, they're yanking your energy cord, right? They're yanking this energy beam that goes, that you connect to from, you know, one chakra to another. They're pulling at me, you know, I feel like they just stuck a knife in my back, right? These are energy expressions that are depicting energy experiences that are happening to us physiologically. Okay, so we did our introductions. We're going to talk about goals and we kind of touched on goals and obstacles somewhat. I'm going to talk about those more a little bit later. But here's our goals for today. We're going to, here are the five keys that I'm going to talk you through today are how to establish energy boundaries, why we have difficulty with certain clients or certain people, and why others are easy. What it means to have a healing presence. Okay, actually, let me slow down and go through these a little bit more clearly. So there are five missing ingredients and that live in the world of energy healing that I'm going to talk about today. And they are the foundation of a natural order for the healing process to work. And if you follow this natural order, you will get the most complete results from your healing work or your practitioner work or your therapy work with your clients. If you don't follow this natural order, you will continue to search until you fill in the gap. Okay, and that's what came out even in our introductions here that a couple of you shared. Like, there's a couple gaps that are showing up in your practice with clients. Like, I'm stuck with this one. I don't know why. I don't know what happened. I don't know why I'm struggling here. So we're going to fill in, or at least we're going to begin to understand what some of those gaps are all about. So there's two primary people, kinds of people that show up for this work. And one is those of you who are seeking your own personal transformation for your own healing. And you feel that, you know, self-help books, Western medicine, therapy, yoga didn't quite get to the core of what you're looking for. And the other kind of person is the person who's a practitioner, as many of you had shared with us, and that there's a missing health link that you're seeking, and that's this, and they kind of have this sense that it's energy healing, but you don't really know how that works or what that's all about. So hopefully I'm going to fill in some of that gap for you today. And then we're going to talk about, okay, so actually before I go further forward, I want to just tell you a little bit about my own story so you have some context for where I'm at, what my background is. So I've been doing this work for over 30 years now. I have a thriving practice that I'm very grateful for. I love my clients. I ran a healing school in Los Angeles for 17 years called Lionheart Institute of Transpersonal Energy Healing. And then I decided that I didn't want to be at the helm of that kind of program anymore for myself. So I had this wonderful opportunity to transition that on to Deborah Allen, who took the work and turned it into Healers Forum. So I'm happy that that's still continuing on, at least for some time. I get to travel to India twice a year to work on my own spiritual practice and progress. And I get to donate, you know, probably well over 15% of my income to a charity hospital there and a girls' school there, which I feel so privileged to be able to do. So I have such a fulfilling life right now, but it certainly wasn't always that way. We go back to my early 20s. I was living with my husband in Florida, working three jobs to support us. And in the little apartment complex that we lived in our early youth, I met a woman who lived like practically next door to us, and Carol, and she was, we had become friends, and all of a sudden one day I noticed that she was getting happier. It's like, Carol, what are you doing? Like, all of a sudden you're so happy these days. Like, what are you doing? Now, mind you, this was 30 years ago. She said, I'm going to therapy. And I went, what? Therapy? Why are you in therapy? There's nothing wrong with you. So 30 years ago, you had to be like totally insane to go to therapy. It was not in vogue back then to go to therapy. So So I wanted to know what was she doing? That, and so she told me about this therapy, and she told me that, you know, her sex life was like getting really incredible because of it. And I went, what? So I was thinking, well, my sex life's pretty good, but it wasn't like what Carol was describing. So it's like, that sounded like a really good idea for me to go to therapy to like have what she was having. So I went to therapy, and lo and behold, that this is not just a regular therapist. This is a hypnotherapist. So now I'm having these regressive experiences for the first time in my life. I'm having regressions that are taking me back to early childhood stuff. And I had, as a result, I had this kind of kundalini experience and awakening in my body, came home and became like a tigress in bed. So I thought this was great. Only thing was that it had the opposite effect on my husband. It shut him completely down. So that wasn't supposed to be the end of this story. It wasn't supposed to be like that or look like that. So ultimately, that relationship didn't work out. But I learned so much about myself because of it. And it started me on a healing journey. So then in subsequent relationships I went into, they were still very codependent relationships. So now all this energy has started to be opened up in me, and I'm having this thriving practice. I'm learning energy healing. I'm learning body work. I'm doing all this work, and my clients are having incredible experiences. I'm having a very successful practice by day, and by night I'm in these screwed up codependent relationships. Like, hello, there is something wrong with this picture. So I had to find out what this missing piece was. So I was searching, different classes, different workshops, and then I came across the Barbara Brennan workshop that she was teaching. I was living in New York City at the time. And so I'm in this workshop with 150 people in this big high school auditorium. I raised my hand to ask a question, and she says, come on up here. So I was like, oh, okay. So I go trotting up on stage, and she starts to do a reading and a healing on me, and my body starts vibrating and trembling all over the place, and she starts telling me things about myself that I never knew. Now, mind you, I've been in therapy now for quite a few years, so it's like I had a lot of pride about knowing myself, and she's telling me stuff I had no clue about, and I knew it was resonant. I knew it was true. I'm vibrating all over the place. I'm sobbing, crying. I'm like, oh, my God, I know I have to now learn this. So I signed up for her training program, but I signed up for all the wrong reasons. So I'm going to tell you, this is a little embarrassing to admit, but I'm going to tell you anyway. I signed up for these two reasons. One, I didn't want anybody having anything over on me. This woman knew more about me than I knew about me. Like, I didn't like that. So like that was my ego, right? So I wanted to know. And the second reason was I wanted to be able to do what she was doing to other people. So it was like, okay, then I get to the school and I find out, oh, I got to let go of all that stuff. I'm not going to see anything, experience anything, know anything, really rock anything with all of that ego in the way. So this work started to really bash my ego down. Thank goodness for that. And it was through the understanding of the ego connection to the work of energy and how I had to get out of the way and out of my own way to be able to begin to perceive and heal anything. So I didn't know how I was going to come up with the money for the training, but I knew that I had to do this. And the training set me free. This was the first training, even after years of therapy, that set me free from my self-sabotaging loops and behavioral patterns. And that, for me, was priceless. So that is what I now have a passion about offering. What Rita Marie and I share a passion about offering to all of you is bridging this world of energy psychology, body energy psychology, with nutritional health, with physical and emotional health, so that you can heal these patterns that we've been stuck in from childhood. And wherever we're stuck in our adult relationships, whether it's clients, whether it's a significant other, whether it's with some stuck place of resistance in ourselves, it's some residual pattern that was learned from our early childhood. So that's, as a result of that, I was able to start to learn how to be authentic in myself and in my connections with other people. And if I can do that, then you can do that. So take a deep breath, everybody, because that's the journey that we're on here today. So we're embarking on. All right, so let's go back to these boundaries now. Keys that we're going to get today. So the first key of establishing boundaries, we're going to talk about why we have difficulty creating connection. And, you know, and oftentimes it's linked directly into a fear of implementing healthy boundaries. We'll discuss those liabilities and consequences and what we can do about it. I had to understand how to establish clear boundaries. I had been terribly confused about what I was responsible for in my relationships and what I was not responsible for. And I think this is one of the biggest places we get stuck is what am I responsible for in my clients, in myself, and in my children and my family members, and what am I not responsible for? So I started, as a result of that work, I started to value my time, and my detachment from outcomes grew. Wouldn't that be lovely to have detachment from an outcome with your clients and with your children and with your partner and, you know, your significant relationships? And that there's a way to establish boundaries that don't put up a wall between you, but you can have a healthy boundary with an open heart. So that's the goal for one of the goals for today. Okay. The second one, how to have a healing presence. And this has to do with getting energetically grounded. When if you're extremely sensitive to other people's moods, which many of you are natural empaths, you might find yourself feeling more for other people than you do for yourself. Somebody just mentioned that to me this morning. I've not been taking care of myself. So if you're one of those who takes care of everybody else first, right, before you take care of yourself, there's an energy grounding issue there. And then what happens is we oftentimes, when we do that, we feel drained. And it's because we're not tuning into or paying attention to or noticing what I'm feeling in myself. And you learned how to do that for survival reasons. You're not doing that because you're stupid or you're dumb or you're anything like that. You learned how to do that because it took care of you in your early childhood. So you're going to learn how to get grounded, how to open your chakra energy system a little bit today. We're going to do a series of exercises for that. And by doing that, for me, I learned how to have stamina, endurance, how to face life's challenges. My energy level increased. After decades of having cold hands and feet, I was finally warm, both on the inside and the outside. So the next thing we're going to learn is, is how to have a healing presence. How to open your heart. So when you learn how to open your energy system, you learn how to feel safely vulnerable and safely open and safely authentic. And the reason that we close is because we think it keeps us safe. And indeed it did at a time when it was important. But now that as adults, we have other tools, we have other skills that we can learn to keep us feeling safe, so we don't have to close our heart. And we don't have to use toxic substances or toxic friends or toxic food to feel okay about having an open heart and making vulnerable connections in relationship. Okay, so then heal your energy body history. So you know when you have an emotionally challenging time and you get a backache or a stomach ache or I think it was Diana that shared with us about, you know, feeling chronic fatigue and how it maybe tracked back all the way to her early childhood or infancy. So we kind of know it intuitively, but we don't maybe always know what to do about it. And so that's one of the things that we're going to be introduced today is how to get in touch with that energy that will help you free the stuck energy that keeps you caught in those patterns. Okay. And then, then we're going to look at healing our energy body history. So You know those times when you're in a when you want to have a healthy boundary, you know you should have a healthy boundary, and you can't quite implement it. And it's because the issue lives in your tissue. It lives in your physiological tissue as trapped emotional energy. And that trapped energy prevents us from having healthy, healing connections with other people. I couldn't establish healthy boundaries until I discovered why it was so difficult to implement them. So once I had that awareness, and once I had that experience of moving that energy through me, it awakened my feelings of freedom and lightness that I hadn't known since pre-trauma. So you're going to rewrite your own history when you start to move the energy through your system. And then we're going to also learn about how to create an energy connection. So you know those times when you're in your relationship with a significant other and you feel like you're a million miles away from them, or like, you know, you really want them to understand you and they don't, or like it feels like you're speaking two different languages and you can't get why that is or what happened. Well, without connection, there is no communication, and connection facilitates healing. So you're going to learn how to connect and what the secret key is about that. And it's kind of simple and mind blowing at the same time. So, and then we're also going to couple with that how to feel deeply seen and heard. And then I'm going to talk to you about what's next. I'm going to tell you a little bit about the awakening retreat so you can decide whether it's right for you, whether it calls to you, and this is something you want to do that will help you take your work further. And then I'm going to demo a healing. So I want you to be thinking about right now if there's a specific issue with a particular client or with yourself or with somebody that you want to work with me. I will be asking for volunteers for that. And during the break, we'll take a couple of breaks this morning. During the break, if you want to send me a little chat and let me know what you'd like to work with, if you want to volunteer, I'm going to try to choose what I think will make serve the group the best as far as a demo goes for today. So take a breath. That's a lot we're going to cover. We got a lot to do. Okay, so let's go to the next slide. Did I do that right? Yeah. Okay. So the first goal today, establish healthy boundaries. So the problem, unhealthy boundaries, and the cost of unhealthy boundaries, we take on their stuff and sometimes get physically sick. Any of you empaths, you can put in the chat. Any of you empaths do that? Get physically sick when you take on somebody else's stuff? So maybe you could do a little chat on how you might do that. I love this picture because this woman is trying so hard to hold a boundary. Like she's really like, oh no, this woman is so needy over here and pulling at me. And she's trying so hard to stay with herself. And this is really tough, right? Anybody relate to this image? I so relate to this. And we feel overly responsible. She's really feeling overly responsible. Clearly she does not want to be there. Some of us, when we feel that, we get cold and detached, and we don't want to be cold and detached. We want to be warm and open and connected, but we also don't want to be drained. Okay, so, or maybe you're a person who withdraws when others become needy and reach out for support. So these are all some of the different things that we do around boundaries. So here's the three-step solution I want to talk about. The first one, many of you maybe already know and might be already really good at, but I need to name it because some of us think we do this really well, and then we come to find out maybe not so much. So we need to separate policies from process, from issues of process. So sometimes a client will really mesh and merge and mush those two things together. So we need to make sure. So for example, if a client, you know, calls you up or calls you up, shows up, whether you're doing long distance work or in-person work, shows up, say they show up 15 minutes late and say they show up 15 minutes late, like regularly. And they have lots of reasons why they're late. Okay. And they tell you, oh, I got stuck in traffic, or I didn't know this was going to happen, or my doctor called me on the way, or whatever their reasons are. There's lots of reasons why they're late, for example. And it's mixed in with, and maybe emotion and tears and sadness and, you know, and, you know, are you going to charge me for the full session? Right. So now we're bleeding into policy. You're going to charge you. I couldn't help it that, you know, this happened and I couldn't help it that this or what, whatever the reason is. Right. So the policies get mushed in with process. And so if you're an empath, your tendency is probably going to go, oh no, of course I understand. Right. So you're going to let go of your policies. And there's going to be a question about integrity that could come up there for you and also for this client. So we need to create safety and boundaries. And when, interestingly enough, when you are firm with your boundaries, when you're firm with your policies, and when you're clear with your policies, clients feel safer. I have my clients sign my policy sheet and return it to me before we start even the first session. So they're really clear on what those policies are. Now, if an extenuating circumstance shows up and I need to make an exception, absolutely I'll do that. I'm not going to be rigid with them, but I'm also going to be really clear about implementing them. And this could mean being clear about your no-show policies, your late policies, your cancellation policy. Maybe you have a package program that there needs to be a payment plan for, a payment due for, being clear on your follow-up, checking in with them. So I want to give you one example, a real-life example that happened with a client of mine. So this is a client I was working with for a long time already. And the interesting thing was that this client, her father was paying for her sessions. Now, this was an adult client. So her father was paying for her sessions. So she would show up 10 minutes late, 15 minutes late. These were all in-person sessions at my office. And I was noticing myself starting to feel increasingly kind of disturbed by that, like a little bit resentful about it. And 20 minutes late became regular. And then one day, my late policy is after I wait for my clients for 30 minutes, and then if they don't show up, I consider it a cancellation. So one day, so this is building up in me, and I haven't said anything to her about it. I haven't addressed it with her. So one day she's 30 minutes late, and I left my office. Apparently she came 35 minutes after the hour. Now, our session was only an hour, so she came 35 minutes after, but I was gone already. And so she called me, and she was furious with me. And so, of course, the next session, the first thing we did was we talked about it. And I had to take responsibility because I had to take responsibility for not bringing it up before that. I reacted. I was so resentful, I left. And I got into a little bit of my own reactivity there instead of addressing it with her. So we talked about it. We talked it through. And it was really good for both of us. So I grew from that. She grew from that. And she was on time from then on. So it was really scary for me to do that, to talk to her. But it was necessary. And if I had brought it up when it first started happening, it would have been a non-issue by that point in time. Okay, so now let's identify process. We need to distinguish facts from feelings and acknowledge both in our client. And we need to separate facts from feelings in ourselves to be able to be clear with our clients. And then we need to practice tolerating discomfort. So let me break this down a little bit more. The facts part of ourselves, those of you who have taken my the exceptional mentorship class read about reason, will, and emotion in that class. Okay, so if you're predominantly a reason type, then you might be the person that, you know, I don't really care about your feelings. I just want to give you the facts. I want to give you the protocol for your healing. I want to talk about your health. I don't really care about your feelings. And the feeling person, the person who's predominantly a feeler type, they're going to not care so much about the facts. They just want you to feel empathy for them or feel connected to them or show them that you care about them. Show them some love and nurturance. That's going to be really hard for the reason type of person. And for the feeling type of person, there it's going to be really hard for them to care about the facts until you meet them at a feeling level, at a feeling place. So those of you who are struggling with some of your clients, you can ask yourself right now, is that client more of a feeling person or more of a reason person, a reason, will, or emotion person? So if you are a reason person and your client is an emotion person, it might be really uncomfortable for you to try to open your heart and feel and be empathic when you might actually feel annoyed. Okay, so this is going to bring up some of your stuff, and we're going to need to look at that. And the first step is to practice tolerating discomfort as you sit with your client and know that that discomfort is really normal and it's part of the challenge. Okay. So now we're going to do something to help us establish, we're going to do an experience to help us establish healthy energy boundaries. So I'm going to come out of the share for a minute so you can see me better. And what we're going to do is, the solution to this is I just lost my train of thought here for a minute. Yeah, without connection, okay, I know where I put this. Give me one moment. Take a deep breath while I'm looking for where I'm at. Okay, so the solution is to acknowledge their individuality and to make connection, because without connection, there is no communication. So I'm going to teach you the first step about how to connect. And connection is natural. We do it all the time. And we feel it more easily with some than with others. And it's easy to do it with the other person when they respond in a way that is comfortable to us. But when they don't, we can sometimes take it personally. We can feel rejected. We can feel misunderstood. We can feel irritated or agitated, or like we want to go on the attack. Okay. It could evoke something aggressive in us. So when we grow up, if we have either in childhood or adult land, if we have adult trauma even, we can learn to both seek and fear connection. We need connection. So we both seek and fear connection. And Kimberly gave us an incredible talk about trauma in the class on Wednesday. She's going to give more on this coming Wednesday. So I really encourage you to take that, because it will help this go even deeper for you. So what happens for us when we've experienced trauma and we both seek connection because we need connection, and we fear connection. So because we didn't learn how to recognize what our emotional need, some of us, what our emotional need even was, let alone what to do about it or what to do with it. And so it becomes hard to distinguish a healthy boundary, what a healthy boundary is. It becomes hard to express our needs because it feels really scary. Like if I tell you what I need and you don't meet my need, I'm going to feel devastated. I'll feel rejected. I'll feel abandoned. I'll feel undeserving. So what happens, here's the secret. And it's in a way so obvious that we can miss it. And that the obvious is we are already always connected. We can't not be connected. We are already always connected, but we don't like how the connection feels. We don't like how the connection feels. So the truth is, you are already always connected, but you don't like how it feels. So you have to practice tolerating this uncomfortable feeling until you can explore it, get to know it, and shift it. So I'm going to talk about this more in the awakening, and you're going to experience this more in the awakening, but there are four ways that we connect, that we experience energy in connection. And that is, we push our energy on others. We pull energy from others. We stop our energy from flowing, or we allow our energy to flow. When we allow our energy to flow, we might not like how that feels. It might feel staticky. It might feel tingly. It might feel hot. It might feel clammy. It might feel dark. It might feel heavy. So this is energy language, these words. And you, I asked you to print out those handouts. You have that energy vocabulary list, right? So these words I'm using, they're from this list. It might feel painful. It might feel stagnant. It might feel tickly, right? So these are the language of energy. And if you had childhood trauma and you were overwhelmed with some, you know, an angry parent or a pulling, needy parent, when that energy comes towards you, your whole system might go into shock or pullback or shutdown or withdraw or something, right, that it learned how to do to tolerate at that time, to survive that experience at that time. But guess what? You're safe now. You know that here intellectually, but your body hasn't caught up to it yet. Your body hasn't gone, oh yeah, I can feel this and nothing bad will happen, right? Because neurologically, we're wired to go, oh no, 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 right? So people who are shy, like, don't ever put me in front of a classroom of people to speak if I'm shy, because neurologically it's going, danger, danger, danger. But in actuality, we know, okay, nobody's going to throw rocks at me from this stage. Nobody's going to, like, you know, cut my head off. But there's a neurological wiring that we are needing to work with to help that be different. So I'm going to teach, so we're going to do a breakout in just a minute, and I'm going to teach you a way to begin to talk about the energy that shows up in you in a safe way with somebody else. Okay. So the first, so now I want you to listen really carefully to these instructions. So this is going to be to listen carefully, and I want you to lean in, physically lean in to me a little bit, breathe, take a breath, lean in, open your eyes wide so you can grok all of this, because there's a few steps to this. Okay, what's going to happen is, first, you're going to get with a partner. You're going to have 1 minute only each to share. The partner going first is going to say, it's going to start with how I take on other people's problems is, so you might want to jot that down, how I take on other people's problems is, and then you're going to talk about that for 1 minute. Now, the listener, the beautiful practitioner, healer, empathic, you know, type of energy person that you are, sensitive person that you are, listening, you're not going to say anything. You're not going to give them advice. You're not going to rescue them. You're not going to solve their problem for them. You are simply going to listen. What are you going to do? Say it out loud. Simply listen. Say it one more time. Simply listen. You're not going to advise. You're not going to fix. You're not going to solve. Now, but you are going to do something else. After that 1 minute, you're going to say, this is me. So all of you right now, I want you to put your, you can see me a little bit. You're going to, this is your energy bubble. You're going to put your arms at arm's length in front of you. And the space between your physical body and your hand out in front of you is the space in your auric field. Okay. And this space is you, your space. And remember now, we are in the land of energy. It doesn't matter that you're not physically sitting in the room with that person, because energetically you're connected with them by listening, okay, by just being present and listening. And I want you to lean in and breathe deeply as you listen to them. And then at the end of that 1 minute, you're going to go, this is me. And you're going to put your hands here. And then you're going to palpate with the back of one hand. You're going to palpate out and feel, imagine, just pretend that you can feel their energy field and say, that is you. So this is me. That is you. So say it out loud. You can't hear each other, but you can hear me. Okay, this is me. Say, this is me. And palpate with the back of your hand. That is you. And then you're going to open your palms and say, it's safe to connect. Okay? So we're going to do those three steps one more time. This is me. You're going to feel the energy. You might feel your own energy right now just palpating that way. This is me. That is you. Say it. That is you. It's safe to connect and open your palms. Okay? And take a deep breath. All right. Have we got our instructions? So I don't know. Lynn, are you able to give everybody a one-minute switch cue, or is that too complicated to do that? I forgot to ask you that before. All right, I'll tell you what. She's not sure, so let's time yourself, okay? So please time yourself at 1 minute. I want you to switch. So how I take on other people's problems is, and you're going to just talk for 1 minute, and at the end of 1 minute, don't just stop, okay? Even if you're not complete with your thought, that's okay, and do this is me, that is you, it's safe to connect, okay? So Lynn's going to go ahead and put us in breakout groups right now with a partner, and we're going to try that out.
Yeah,
Laura, just, I have a question. This is Heidi. I guess I just need to know what you mean by take on. To me, that's two different things. Take on meaning their energy is incoming in some way. To me, take on almost had this instant of conjugation of they're shooting energy at me versus I'm helping them. You know, or I need to take on other people's problems means I'm sitting there ready to help them, or out of the blue, they're just shoving things on me. I'm not sure.
Yeah, great question. Let me expound a little bit more. Thank you, Heidi. When you listen, all your job is just to be relaxed inside yourself. So I want you to take a breath right now, everybody. Just relax inside yourself. I told you to lean in, but I'm going to change my mind. I want you to relax inside yourself. There's nothing you have to do. There's nothing you have to take on or do or just be. What you're doing is to be inside yourself in a relaxed, open-hearted space, whatever that means to you. And just listen. Is that helpful, Heidi? Is that kind of addressing?
Yeah, thank you. I guess I didn't know whether in that context you were talking about helping somebody or whether you're just dealing with unwanted energy. So, but you're saying if you're sitting in a helpful stance and the client is trying to talk to you about their problems, right? That's the context, correct? Okay,
yeah. Thank you. And those of you who have taken the mentorship, exceptional practitioner mentorship course, It's just sitting in your essential self, right? That's what we're doing. We're just being in our essential, wise self, centered self, okay? All right, so let's give it a try. Lynn's going to put us with a partner.
And just for those of you who haven't done breakout rooms before, because it can be a little disconcerting, you're going to be taken from here and kind of whooshed like Star Trek into another room. And then at the very end, you're going to see a button that says leave room. And if you're done, you can click that. Otherwise, once I click a button and that 60 seconds is over, you're going to be kind of whooshed back in here. So I just like to warn people ahead of time.
Okay, so at the end of 2 minutes, when you see the cue come up that says leave meeting, you should click on that, right?
Correct.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome. So if you see join room, there you go, smart people.
So they should click on join room.
Yep, so Honora, do you see the button that says join room? There she does.
Good. Okay, good. I can go do a quick pee break. Okay. Okay, well, whatever that was, it stopped now, so that's good. So Christina, I apologize for that. So you were saying you were feeling like your heart was racing, just talking about it, feeling everybody's eyes on you.
Yeah, well, as far as boundaries, it's great timing. We're talking about this again because I was, in the last few weeks, have been really challenged from every angle. And I had to really go inside and cocoon and isolate myself to protect myself. And it was, you know, I got it loud and clear. This is something I still need to work on, boundaries. So energetically, and then with myself and actually going forth in the world with that, because as a caretaker now for my mother-in-law, who is she has a sucking energy stream, you know, very draining.
Yeah. So as you talk, even right now, can you again just feel that energy boundary? And it seems to me like, especially, I would go ahead and encourage you to feel it in front of the sixth chakra. Like, let yourself have that energy boundary, yeah, in front of your eyes, in front of your face, your neck. So it feels like maybe there's a little leaking happening for you there through the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that relates. Okay. And see if that feels any different now as you notice the people looking at you. How is it to kind of reinforce that edge of that boundary?
Yeah, that feels really good. Actually, the second that I did that, because I think when I was in the room with Jay, I've been working on, I don't want to go there with that conversation, but tapping into, you know, somebody's spirit, soul. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I think I was there. And I saw him, and so that felt really good.
Good. I love
brought myself
too.
Back in, and it felt warm, like boom, all the way back into my body.
Nice. Nice. So this is going to be really important for you, and especially with your tendency to energetically go out, get information that you may or may not want to have, right? So you can also do that if you need to over the crown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the places that you're sort of, you know, attuned to go out. So you psychic people in here, you know, you might find this really handy. So.
I got chills. Yeah. Really good. Oh, that's great.
Good. Okay, good.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Jay, while we're in this, is there anything you want to add or remark about your experience with Christina?
No, it was, you know, I thought we had a comfortable conversation, actually. And I guess part of what I reflected on, although I'm not, you know, I'm not in the health aspect of things like you guys are, I'm in the legal, and there's a lot of parallels because I have people that come to me to help give them advice on solving their problems. And so I can, you know, I wouldn't say I'm an empath, but I can tend to take on people's problems. And if they're, you know, if they're suffering, although, you know, I work for a corporation, a company, and these are company issues, but, you know, these are people that are personally struggling with how to deal with a problem. And I'm pretty sympathetic and, you know, sympathetic to helping them get past a problem to make, you know, make things go better, not only for the company, but also for them, to give them a path forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful. Well, thanks for sharing that. And I love that you were able to actually bridge into these two worlds and see the kind of the relationship, because there is. I mean, everything is energy and dynamic relationships. So thanks, Jay.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, good. Anybody else? Yeah, Heidi.
I have a question, actually, because the interesting thing is, you know, I'm already aware of when I work with people that I create a bubble around me. I'm aware of that bubble. But in this exercise, I was realizing, because I'd never actually tried to feel physically the edges of that before. Mm-hmm. When I did that, I realized it extends fairly far out normally. And I had this sort of epiphany in my mind that when I'm working with people, say, online or at a distance or
in a setting where they're outside of that normal reach, I'm fine. But when they're standing or sitting right next to me, I have to collapse that bubble down in tightly around me, and I find that exhausting. So I was wondering if you could speak to that. I think that's why sometimes I feel really, really tired trying to keep my boundaries, whereas other times it feels much more natural. I was wondering if you had anything to say about that.
Yeah, I think as I'm guessing that it's a root chakra issue for you. Like the more you get grounded in your and strengthen the root chakra, because you have such a highly developed crown, right? And sixth chakra, your upper chakra is where your all that psychic sensitivity and awareness is like big, right? So we for it to be balanced, you got to make it a matching from there down, right? From the waist down, it should be as big and wide as this to be able to really be integrated and not feel drained. Right, to feel that healthiness. So, and you're working on that, right? You're working on coming into your body. So you've got to go slow and easy because this is part of, you know, your gift. And also it's part of what's been holding the wound. But as you get more integrated, then that you'll be less strained.
Okay.
And don't worry if this condenses somewhat as you strengthen the lower chakras, because your abilities won't go away. It might feel like that, but they won't. I promise you. So, okay. Yeah, it'll balance out. So good. Great question. Anybody? Well, we have time for one more. Janine.
I just noticed, I know I've had problems with my low back, you know, my root foundations. And like slowly now I can feel my body kind of sweating and the pain is intense and kind of nauseated. And I thought I enjoyed sharing my story, but maybe my body's fighting it. I'm not sure how to deal with that.
Yeah, so you're having some real, it sounds like real physiological sensations from having shared your story that are taking you by surprise. Is that right? Kind of taking you by surprise. Okay, so if you can tolerate the sensation, if the pain is not too off the charts, if you can tolerate it and breathe with it, sometimes it's the energy trying to get into movement and open up some blocked passageways in the physiology. It can have a real palpable sensation to it. I'm going to tell a story about that in a few minutes. And you may be rubbing up against a block that's starting to try to work its way through. Let me give you an analogy. It's like if you have a hose that's been sitting outside all winter, right? And then you turn it on first thing in the spring for the first time, and it kind of, you know, it's kind of bumps up against the leaves and it kind of girdles and bumps and juggles. And it's like before the leaves shoot out, right? So when the energy starts to move, it can kind of be like that for a minute. It rubs up against all the blocks that are in there trying to work its way out, and it can be a little uncomfortable. So try to keep breathing with it and see if it's tolerable because the energy is in movement. And we're going to do some more moving in a few minutes to help with that too.
If it's okay, Veronica put something on here maybe other people were feeling as well. She said she didn't feel anything.
Okay, good. I'm glad you brought that up. So, you know, the working with subtle energy, it's subtle, right? The nature of subtle energy is subtle. There's no question about that. And it can feel like, okay, I'm just pretending here. I'm putting my hands out because the teacher told me to, and I'm doing like this, and I'm palpating the air in the space and opening my, you know, it's okay. There's a saying in the 12-step program for those of you who've done 12-step work, fake it till you make it, because it takes a while to kind of tune into the subtler frequencies. You know, it's like when you look at a candle and you can see, you can, quote, see heat. We're not really seeing heat, but we're seeing the flame, and then we're seeing the sort of light around the flame, right? It's more subtle than the flame itself, but there's an aura to that light. And there's another aura after that light that we can kind of sort of see. And then there's heat, which we can't see at all, but we can feel. So it's a new vocabulary we're learning. And it might seem, you know, for those of us who are more intellectually developed or more scientific in our backgrounds, it might be a little harder at first. to see if you can just fake it till you make it for a while and see what happens, okay? And yeah. Okay. All right, so we're going to go on to back to the PowerPoint. This is me, that is you, and it's safe to connect. And also, we're going to do this exercise in person at the retreat, at the Awakening Retreat, where you're going to have a different experience with it too. So acknowledge energy. Okay, so just to summarize, key one, separate policies from process, distinguish facts from feelings, and acknowledge your energy and your process from mine. This is me, and that is you. If somebody else is crying, it's okay for you to just be present with that. You don't have to take it on. All right, key number two, get energetically grounded. And this might also help you, Veronica. The problem, what's the problem about not being grounded? Well, and how do you even know if you're not grounded? You might feel forgetful, spacey. If you're classic at bumping into things and hurting yourself and tripping over your own feet, if you are tired, if you lack motivation, if you feel like you're lazy or apathetic or careless, part of that might just simply be a grounding issue, that you're not grounded. If you have difficulty finishing projects, if you're not listening in present time, if you find yourself talking to somebody or somebody's talking to you and all of a sudden you realize you didn't hear a word they said, or you're on the phone and you're talking to somebody and oftentimes if it's a family member that we're so used to hearing them go blah, 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 we realize after 10 minutes, you know, they say, what do you think? And you realize, oh my God, I didn't hear anything that they said. And so that's a not being grounded when we're not listening in present time. We're not grounded in our body. What are the consequences of that? Confusion, mistrust. How do I trust myself? How do I trust the person I'm talking to? I miss essential, perhaps important information. The client might feel frustrated that you're wasting their time. Your partner or your significant others might feel frustrated that they don't feel like they're important to you. And also your clients won't get the help that you know that you can provide. Okay, so these are just some of the consequences of not really feeling or being able to be well grounded in our body. So solution, we're going to do this now. This is so simple and so potent. So I'm going to talk you through it first. We're going to do stomping, then rowing, and then then we're going to say the affirmation, I'm here. And I want you to write that down, I'm here. It might sound silly, but I want you to use this a lot, I'm here. And then we're going to do a step of feeling and seeing ourselves. So I'm going to come out of the share now for a minute so you can see me demo this first. Okay, so we're going to start with, I want you to stand up. And if you have trouble with your back or something and you need to do this seated, you can do it seated. That's fine. But I want you to just stomp your feet on the ground. Stomp your feet on the ground. And you can hear me. We can't hear you, but just really loud and bring your arms into it too. And even if you're seated, that's fine too. You can bring your arms into it. And now we're going to add, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. And breathe, I'm here. And open your mouth and say it really loud with full commitment. I'm here, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here, 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 here. And stomp really hard now, I'm here. Like you're having a temper tantrum. I'm here. I'm here. Okay, now sit down. Sit down, and I want you just to rock back and forth on your sits bones. I'm here. And if you don't have any back problems or spine problems, you can just lift and drop a little bit into your chair. I'm here. I'm here. Feel your butt drop into the chair. And now I want you to, we're going to do feeling self with self. So you're going to pick up a foot. Pick up a foot. You don't have to do it this high. I'm just trying to demonstrate. Look at your foot and see your foot and press it and feel it and see it and say, I'm here, and breathe. So you're going to feel it, see it, say it, and breathe it. I'm here. Now go up your leg. I'm here. I'm in here. Feel your leg. Say it. I'm in here. I'm here. And squeeze it, do compression, not so hard that you hurt yourself, but but hard enough that you feel yourself occupying that leg. Go up to your knee, front and back of your knee. I'm here. Up the thigh. I'm here. I'm here. Squeeze hard enough that you can really feel and look at it and see that you actually are in here. You are in here. And squeeze and feel back down that same leg. I'm here. All the way down to your foot. I'm here. And now tap your foot. Tap it. Just slap it and tap it. And then go up the leg. Tap up the leg. I'm here. And say it. Use your voice. And see it. See what you are doing. Slap the front and back of your thigh. And now wipe it down. Stroke down the whole leg, the whole foot. Tap that same foot on the floor. Close your eyes and feel the difference between your two legs. Feel the difference. That's what grounding can feel like. Feel the difference between the two legs. Okay, now let's make a matching set. Pick up the other foot. Squeeze it. Look at it. See it. Feel it. I'm here. Say, I'm here. Look at it and really feel that you are there. I'm here. I'm here. Squeeze up the calf. I'm here. Front and back of the calf. Squeeze it. Feel it. Say it. Squeeze the knee. Front and back of the knee. I'm here. Say it. Wholeheartedly, I'm here. I'm in here. Feel it. See it. Say it. Now come up to your trunk. Squeeze your belly. Take a hunk of belly, squeeze it. I'm here. Say it. I'm here. I'm in here. I'm in here. Squeeze your butt. Get your lower back, your kidneys. I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. Your ribs, your belly, your breasts. Come up to your breasts. I'm here. I'm here. Compress. Look at your body as you do it. Come down one arm. I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. I'm in here. I'm in here. Look at it. I'm in here. I'm here. And your hand and your fingers. I'm here. Start at the other shoulder. Squeeze that shoulder. Come down that arm. I'm here. I'm in here. I'm here. Breathe, 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 breathe deeply. It's really important that you breathe deeply. I'm here. I'm here. Now grab the front and back of the neck and the throat and stroke it and squeeze it. I'm here. Close your eyes as you do this, as you do your up where you can't see yourself. Close your eyes so you can feel it. Feel it, see it, say it. I'm here. Press into your face. Feel the shape of your head. I'm here. I'm in here. I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. Now, take a deep breath and just come to stillness and relax. Take a couple deep breaths, come to stillness and relax. Notice the energy that's in movement in your body. Okay, so when you feel ready, open your eyes and tell me what you're noticing. Let's have a couple shares.
I'll share.
Yeah.
I felt so sad because I spend so much time outside of myself. And you know, some of you know, I was so physically abused that it's not safe and I don't have a clear boundary and I want to go outside because it's too painful to be inside, but it was sweet. You know, I kept, as I was saying, I'm here, I also thanked my body.
Yeah, beautiful. Beautiful. So I love that it was sweet for you, that you found out that, wow, I can be in my body and it can be sweet. And it's safe now. And so you might want to, I love that, that as an affirmation for you. It's safe now. It's safe. So I'm here and it's safe. So you might want to add that, some of you, to your affirmation, right? I'm here and it's safe. I'm here and it's safe. Thank you, Marcia. Beautiful. Anybody else? What happened for you?
I felt like I was kind of vibrating.
Yeah.
It was kind of a vibration throughout. But at the same time, I feel like I want to take a nap now.
Yeah, we're moving a lot of energy. Yeah, you're working in a different way. You know, when we take a break, you might want to take a little fuel, like eat a little piece of food or something to give you some energy, because we really are using our energy in a different way. Thank you, Jay. Veronica, were you able to feel the energy of that?
Yes, I was able to feel the energy, but at the same time, if like speaking it aloud, I'm here, as you said, it makes me feel a little embarrassed. I'm not sure why. Like nobody, and I'm saying nobody's listening to me. Why am I embarrassed? Like I don't know. There is something about saying something out loud that makes me uncomfortable, but I felt the vibration, like Jay said.
Beautiful. You know, I love that you noticed the embarrassment, because that's, again, when those kinds of reactions come up, those are childhood things. That they're triggers, right? As we start to move the energy, this is what gets to be cleared, right? And this is, you know, like for Marcia, what came up was sadness. For you, what came up was embarrassment. So these are all historical markers that are saved in the energy template of our system. You know, the history is all there. So like, you know, when a geologist takes the rings of a tree, right? When they study the rings of a tree, they can take a slice of that tree and they can see the year there was a blight, the year there was a drought, the year there was a flood. It's all in the rings, right? The same is true in our auric field and our chakra system. It's all in the rings. Everything that happened to us, it's all here. And so we don't care really that much about the history, except where it's interfering with what we want to do going forward. That's all. So if you feel embarrassed when you speak and you want to give talks, then that's something we want to look at and work on so they can get it out of your way. Okay, one more share on this. Somebody else. Yeah, Janine. You're still on mute.
As I was working at my body, I got this intense chill. I've never felt that before. And I get massages and I get worked on. That's my self-care, but this is completely different. This is different. And
yeah.
Going, and it's more that I'm here, I'm in here. And then, and now that low back pain, and I do have plenty of this, it kind of moves up more towards the kidney area. And then it's there. So it kind of lodged up. It's like, okay, come on.
Yeah, the energy is smarter than you are. It knows what it needs to do. It knows what it's doing. I love that you're tracking it, that it's in movement. It's very interesting. So we'll see where you end up by the end of the class today. So thanks for that check-in. All right, so let's go on to the next piece. This is such great sharing that's going on. Okay, let's come back to our slideshow. So I'm here, it's safe to connect, it's safe to feel. Okay, so our next key, create a healing presence, open your heart. So how do we do that? That's the, how do we do that? Okay. Well, first let's look at how do you even know when your heart isn't open? So these are some behavioral tools that help us, right? When we justify or rationalize our actions. So when you go into blame or victimization language, that's a real good indicator, right? Oh, so-and-so did this again. It was there, you know, they screwed that up, or you rationalize, well, I was in a good mood until you came home, right? Or, I would have been on time if you hadn't asked me to pick up three more items at the, you know, stop at the drugstore and stop at the grocery store on the way home, right? So all of this justifying or rationalizing our actions, is our heart isn't open. Or we might notice that we feel cold or detached when we don't want to. When you feel like you connect out of obligation or manipulation, when you have like an agenda that you want from somebody and you're making connection out of your false self, to manipulate an outcome. If you feel lonely or anxious or fearful, our heart isn't open in those states. If we're intellectualizing and making excuses, and there's lots of other things that we do. Okay, so what does a closed heart cost you? Well, some of us feel like a phony, like we're not being our authentic self, and we kind of often will know that that's true. Or when we go into self-doubt, it could be self-doubt. It could also show up as self-criticisms. Doubt yourself, self-criticize, right? I'm such a terrible person. I'm so stupid. I'm so ignorant. I'm so this, I'm so that. I'm an idiot. When we do that self-put down stuff. Or when we hide or withdraw or feel insecure or afraid you'll be shamed or abandoned if you're vulnerable. Okay, so these are that one didn't really kind of fit there, but that's okay. So these are the costs of a closed heart. What does it cost others? Well, people who need what you have lose that benefit. So, when someone wants to hang out with you or wants to make an appointment with you and you're in your insecure mode and in your closed heart, they lose the benefit of all the wisdom that you have. Loss of intimate connection with you and the experience of your true and joyful, unique self. Okay, so the solution, how to open your heart. Oxytocin breathing, which I'm sure Dr. E. Marie has taught you many times already before, but it's so important that anytime you hear the word breath, I want you to take one, a deep one. You know, you're breathing all the time, but take a deep breath. And then I love this one, this look with soft eyes. So when we have an argument with somebody, the first thing that happens often is we harden our gaze. You know, we change our gaze. We let that anger come through our eyes. So I really want to encourage you to use the incredible gift of that simple adjustment of looking with soft eyes. So even if you want to talk about something that you're upset about, that irritates you, that you feel was hurtful to you, talk to that person, but with soft eyes. And then we're going to do what I call naming the white space, which we kind of touched on a little bit earlier as well. So if you open up your energy vocabulary list, or if you have the book, the Exceptional Practitioner book, it's in your book. On my pages are probably different because this is an older version, but it's in your book in chapter 10, your energy vocabulary list. We're going to name the white space, you know. So this really also takes us out of blame, out of the land of blaming and shaming. So when we can name the energy that's happening between us. So for example, if I say, you know, I'm feeling when you sit down with somebody and maybe they're very confrontational, then, and you feel like, right, a kind of a yike reaction inside, you might use energy language because it's non-judgmental language. That's what I love about the language of energy. It's non-judgmental. So you might want to say, you know, I feel really shaky right now, or I feel like a shakiness or a staticky energy between us right now, or I feel like a real intense kind of red energy between us right now. So just naming the white space can be really helpful. So this might be an opportunity to one of those of you who offered the client challenges. Jenny, I think you were one, yes? Do you want to, let me come out of here for a minute. Do you want to just share about, I don't know where she is.
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, there you are.
Yes.
Do you want to just share about, like, what, can you describe what the energy is like between you and one of these clients that you're having a hard time with? If you were to describe the white space between you, what would it be like?
Oh my gosh. You know, so it depends on the person. So it can be a little different depending on whom.
Yeah, pick one.
Yes, I think the most challenging one for me is a woman who has a lot of PTSD experience from before. Very defensive, very aggressive at the same time. And she actually admitted that she has been very aggressive even with her coworkers. Mm-hmm. I no longer work with her, but so this happened probably 2 years ago. I think the last session we had, and I actually had acknowledged that the stress was her main issue. And that was related to a lot of the health symptoms that she was experiencing. So I pointed out to her, probably for the second time or the third time, for some reason this last time, I think she was kind of okay. Didn't really react to it before, but in the last session when I brought the stress level up again, she was very, very upset. And she said, you know, by just listening to you talking about stress makes me more stressed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how would you describe what that felt like between the two of you? If you were to describe, what was that dynamic like between you? If you want to look at your sheet, it might help, yes. Right? So like, what would be some words that would describe what that energy felt like?
I felt stuck. Uh-huh. I felt very tight. Uh-huh. And I didn't know what else to say. Uh-huh. I felt very frustrated, just frustrated and didn't know what to do with her. So pretty much it just froze. The energy froze. The conversation froze. And just frustration was obviously there. Yeah.
Yeah, so I feel stuck, frustrated, and kind of frozen right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting. Like, so this is one of the most potent things we can do is to name what that experience is and see what happens, right? I feel, if we use it with I language, I feel stuck, frozen, and frustrated right now. And see what happens with her. If we were to actually name that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I feel stuck, frozen, and frustrated. And I wonder, so, and here's part two of that question. And I wonder what it's like for you. Because I feel stuck, frozen, and frustrated. So like we're naming our energy experience. We're not saying, you know, you got to get over yourself or you got to stop being so angry or you got to stop blaming people. Or, you know, we're not telling her what to do, right? We're naming the experience of our energy in reaction to what she's talking about. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how much that feedback can be super helpful. Now, this can sound scary, right? I'm really divulging what my experience is. Mm-hmm. There's an appropriate time and place to do this, but this is called appropriate self-disclosure. The other thing we can do too is we can name the energy that's in the air between us. If we don't want to talk about our personal experience, we can say, you know, as you talk about it or as we sit here together, the air feels very staticky between us right now. I'm wondering what it's like for you.
I think it's great. I think it's really, really great advice. If I actually had the knowledge of what you're teaching me at this moment, I would definitely use that. I think I just didn't say anything when that happened. I retreat right away because I just didn't know what to do. Yeah.
Yeah. You'll be armed with way more than this. That'll make it so easy. But so so what we're talking about here, right, is just naming the white space and naming, which is the space between us. And then also what Jenny just did was named her internal energy experience. I feel frustrated, frozen, and stuck. And the air between us feels very staticky.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then, you know, it's just opens up a door for the other person to to respond. Mm-hmm. Okay. Can we do one more example? Who else? You're welcome. Heike, I think it was you that had a couple challenging, but do you want to jump in here?
Yeah. So I'm, interestingly enough, I work with a lot of women who are my age. And recently, two clients in particular that brought in their daughters. And one of them, actually both daughters, fight mental issues. Well, that's what they're being told. So they're between 11 and 15. And just 2 days ago, I saw another client whose daughter came in who was just hospitalized because she had suicidal thoughts. And so she came also. And I know the mother because I've been working with her for a while. And the mother is walking on eggshells around the daughter who's completely bought into the diagnosis of being mentally ill. 6 weeks before she was actually arrested for shoplifting at age 15. And so I kind of, after working with her, they were with me for 2.5 hours and watching the mother, who I know because I'm working with her, being on eggshells around her daughter and the daughter coming up with things that all of a sudden happened. She's never cut herself before until she was in the hospital. Now she cuts herself a little bit and having hallucinations all of a sudden that she's never had before, although she's also not taking any medication. So I had this intuition actually that, and I don't know if that's fair at all, but that she was milking the mental health aspect because she knows her mother is not going into the whole shoplifting thing anymore. And they kind of forgiven her for that, although the thing is still being taken to court. And so I'm not sure how to approach it with the mother. I'm not sure if I should tell the mother that that's my intuition. I don't want to obviously be unfair to the daughter. She might actually really experience these things. Mm-hmm. Authentic me would say, and that's again, logic me, mm-hmm. would say, I think she is pushing the mother's buttons because she knows she's getting away with it. I don't deny that she has depression. She absolutely has depression. Mm-hmm. So I am not sure how to approach this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great, it sounds like a very many layered, complex scenario. So,
because right. The mother suffers a lot from this whole situation. So I don't know where my loyalties are, and I don't mm-hmm. want to, you know, play one against the other. So.
Yeah. So are you doing family therapy as well then as working with the mother?
Okay, no, we're just doing nutrition. We're doing some other energy. I'm doing detoxification. So I'm more this kind right now. I'm also doing some bioenergetic stuff, which
okay. is a
company, but.
So So if we stay in our scope of practice, which is more in the land of energy, and maybe refer her to get counseling, that might be an additional support for her. But I would encourage you to explore more deeply with her the walking on eggshells. What's it like to walk on eggshells around your daughter? How is that for you? You know, so to keep the focus on her experience. And what's the cost to you? And what would it be like if you didn't have to walk on eggshells? What would have to be present for you? Mm-hmm. What would you have to be like to not walk on eggshells, right? So that's for everybody. You can ask an opposite, what I call an opposite question. Okay. If this problem were completely behind you and you weren't afraid anymore and walking on eggshells, what would you be like? Okay, so how do we get from then point A to point B? How do we get from here to there? Because you're right now, you're here at the Walking on Eggshells place. And what is she, you know, what would it be like? So I would keep the focus on her experience. So there's obviously some wounding, deep childhood wounding for her that she loses her power around her daughter. Who really needs her to be in her power. Okay. So that's kind of a short answer. But to come back to the energetics of it, what's it like for you when you're with the mother? And what's the energy like between you, right, in the white space between you and the mom?
When her daughter isn't there, it's actually wonderful. We're working beautifully together. It's just seeing her become this person when her daughter is there. It's just really painful. It's painful. It's frustrating because mm-hmm. I feel like I need to disclose a layer of what I think might be going on, but you're right, I'm not a therapist in that sense. So I should.
But you can name the white space that you're experiencing. You're allowed to do that. You're allowed to say, you know, I'm sitting here with the two of you and I'm really feeling how painful this is.
Yeah, okay.
So acknowledging, validating what is present in the room is super powerful. What's that like for you? To hear me say that? To name the pain that's in the room?
Okay.
Okay. Beautiful. Very gutsy work you're doing.
I didn't intend to go there, but it happened.
It happened. There we are. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. Okay. So we're naming the what. So we look at the power of what comes up and what can shift just by naming the what's in the present time space, right? This is authenticity, right? Having the guts, right, to be able to do that. And that's why we do the grounding first, because we got to be grounded in our own body and safe and present in our own body to be able to name what's present in present time. Okay. So let's go to the next slide. So the next key. Do we need to take a break before we go to this next one? Are we okay? Do we need a little quick pee break? We've been going for a while. I think maybe we should do that. So let's do that. Let me stop the share. We'll come back to this in a minute. Let's take like a 10-minute, it's 12 o'clock right now. Let's take a 10-minute break. And while you're on the break, if you have any thoughts about wanting to be a demo with me, please put them in the chat and I'll take a look at that on the break. It's 12, we'll come back at 10 after. And any questions that you might have, feel free to go ahead and put those in the chat too and we'll take a 10-minute break.
Okay, so then it would be 12:15 because it's 5 after right now.
It's 5 after, you're right. Okay, thank you. So 12:15, we'll come back. Thanks, Lynn.